words appear. The email addresses and groups mentioned in this program are no longer available. The Blind Handyman group does exist in its new incarnation on groups.io. To join, send a blank email to blindhandyman+subscribe@groups.io. That's blindhandyman+subscribe@groups.io. Alternatively, you can join our Blind Handyman Facebook group. Links will be in the description box below.
Show number 58, ladies and gentlemen, on this November 11th, 2003, recorded at the Little Ranch House right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, John Shaw.
Well, we made it back, didn't we, Mr. Tom?
We are finally recording a show, aren't we?
We are.
Don Patterson, hi there.
Well, hi there. I thought perhaps we had been canceled for the season, but it's nice to be back here.
It's good to be doing it. I'm Tom Houston, by the way, but the creator and producer of this mess, I mean this stuff, I mean the Blind Handyman. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Well, we just had too many things against us last week. We had Tommy's wife was down in the hospital. What else happened? We just three or four things that all in a row conspired against us. So we sent him an old one. And what'd you say? He sent 18 Shawboy. Is that right? Number 18, I think.
Yeah, we sent number 18.
I have no idea who was on that show. Do you know?
I never even listened to it.
You didn't?
Might have done the show, but didn't listen to it.
Didn't listen. I tuned on to see if we were on, but I don't remember who the guest was.
Right here on the tip of my tongue.
I bet it is.
Yeah. You know it is.
I bet it is.
I could probably name that guest in three notes.
Name that guest.
Name that prune.
Name that tune for blind people. That's what we need to get going. Name that tune, because there's a lot of blind folks interested in music, you know, and I think that'd be a good little show. Name that
it
tune.
Would.
Name that tune.
Boy, well, Mark Christie has entered the building, if
Mark
you didn't notice, Philip.
Mark, uh-huh. He's way over here. He's a little...
Mark is on this side. He's to my left.
He already got his stool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got you set up. I didn't know that.
Laying right there.
Getting
should be
covered now.
I should have known.
Already turned on. And
well, it didn't turn on, but it should be pre-tuned to our frequency.
Mark Christie was our guest on show 18.
Probably.
That was probably
what.
So there.
Been a show or two ago, hadn't it?
Well, it had to be sometime in the fall or early winter of last year.
You're growing a beard, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, how does Cindy feel about that?
Well,
who cares, huh?
It's for a good cause.
Oh,
it is. Her. Is there some reason? Some?
Yes, there's a good reason.
You're going to do the Christmas pageant at the church.
Yes, I am.
And you're going to be?
Santa Claus.
Jesse James.
No.
No.
You're going to be Santa Claus?
No.
I'm not
that round of a belly.
Smith Brothers cough drops.
If you've been talking to my wife, she goes, you need to get rid of that.
So, growing a beard. Well, that's interesting.
No, like I said, it's for a good cause.
Obviously, we don't have much going, folks. We're sitting around talking about... But anyway, it's another exciting adventures of the blind handyman. We have Viviana. I never did get straight on her last name. Anybody know her last name, Viviana?
I'm not sure either.
She posts to the list all the time. She has 40-something goats that she's taking care of, several of which are pregnant. And she has a horse. And she anyway, we'll let her tell the story.
It'll be interesting to hear about that.
It's a very interesting way for anyone to live. And it's an even more interesting way for a blind lady.
Is she totally?
She is
blind?
Total. She said she had light perception was all she had. She had light perception, but she's basically lives off by herself. I guess different strokes for different folks. She's certainly out of the pizza zone.
Yeah, no pizza delivery out there. In other words,
gets her internet connection is her cell phone. So,
But there's hope for us, then. If we've made it out there, to the outer fringes,
there is hope for us.
Surely somebody's discovered us in New York City.
She posts to the lists all the time, so obviously she said it was just very, very slow. So they're roofing your house today, Mr. Don.
They were there, carrying those shingles.
Those of you who aren't aware of the fact that Don and the warden, Emily, are building a house, and they're... putting on that roof today.
All dried in. The windows are there. No doors yet, but it's all framed. Yeah. Garage, the separate little garage is complete. And so now it'll be roof. I think the electricians, air conditioning guy, and plumber have come in to do their inside work.
Uh-huh.
And then the roofers, and then I think the big stall comes. It seems forever to get the brick guys and the sheetrockers there, but...
Well, there'll be at least one door where the light switches will be behind the door. Everybody's got one of those. I've got the shop door. Do you ever notice?
Well, and everybody didn't have Juan. Juan's doing mine, so I think that would be a certainty.
I don't know who did. It wasn't Juan, but anyway, I've got switches. You have to open the door and then walk around. Of course, the sighted people have to take a flashlight because they can't.
They can't see.
It's all right for me. Anyway, what else is going on? Is that about it?
Well, I'm a happy camper. My tractor part came in. I was waiting on that for a month, so now I can start working again.
We were all waiting for that.
I bet y'all were.
Yes, I've gone. Today is what they used to call this day Armistice Day, remember?
You don't know about that.
1918, when they signed. Was it Versailles? What was it? Where was the treaty?
I think in Versailles.
Versailles.
World War I. The Great War. The war to end all wars.
War to end all wars. It didn't.
Right. Lasted about 20 years.
Yeah.
Folks never got over it.
And so the Armistice Day. Now it's Veterans Day, so we're having that today. Holiday. No mail delivery. Still haven't gotten our book ports.
Speaking of mail delivery, a good segue there Mr. Houston's reading material for the day.
That's what I was thinking.
There you go. This was posted some time ago, by the way, and we've been saving it, haven't we, Don Shaw?
We have, in fact.
We've been saving it, and we were waiting on the holiday season to get
closer.
Packaging tips and tricks, and this is submitted, by the way, by John Justice. You all know and love John, of course. Anyway, the most important thing to remember is to plan for the worst. It just might happen, according to John.
Yeah.
When you're packaging anything, there are three basic dangers to consider. Number one, impact from outside sources, change in weight distribution, and vibration. Okay, impact. Let's cover that first. Package travels through the system, it's going to rub shoulders with other items and be bounced around quite a bit by automated handling equipment.
Uh-huh.
If the contents of your shipment is delicate in nature, remember that at no time should the contents ever be allowed to come into contact with the outside container.
Uh-huh.
You must remember to, number one, protect, number two, isolate, number three, encapsulate. Have you ever wondered why an electronic device is fitted into a styrofoam shell, which seems to be much thicker than it needs to be? Well, the answer is that it needs to be in that kind of enclosure for the reasons shown above. The device must be isolated from any impact which might occur during transit in order to prevent damage from inevitable contact. The package is designed to encapsulate the product. The foam absorbs any vibration and cancels it out.
Uh-huh.
Now, you may have noticed that occasionally you will receive a box which is definitely travel-worn, scratched, dented, or even torn.
Yeah. I've seen it happen.
The contents have survived intact. Many manufacturers spend inordinate amounts of money in designing the package they use. It is a fact that if you package a fresh egg correctly, it can make it all the way to Russia without breaking. Now, that's something.
Yeah, what a deal.
Okay, weight distribution. Part of the process of preparing anything for shipment is making sure that you send what you send cannot move inside the container. Now, if the contents of your carton is heavy enough, it can subside to one side of the box and create so much pressure that it seems that the seams will split. Now, in a modern shipping environment, there's no such thing as package orientation. This side up just doesn't work. Use whatever method you can. You can find to centralize the valuable contents and keep it there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Vibration, rigid materials such as glass or china will often be a victim of vibration. If an item you're trying to ship contains glass panels, remove them if at all possible. Pack the glass sheets separately. If the glass panels can't be removed, try running a strip of duct tape from each corner of the glass towards the center. Now, allow the strips to meet in the middle of the glass. This simple trick tends to disturb the vibration created in rigid structures like glass and will often save the mirror or glass door.
Okay. Uh-huh.
If a vibration is set up between the glass components and the jet engines or road noise, the glass will shatter without ever being hit at all. Now, if you're packaging china or glasses, again, the key is putting a lot of absorbent material between the pieces. Try opening a new set of china or glasses. A lot of effort goes into isolating and protecting those pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, packaging. Some of the cheapest packaging material available is newspaper, but it has one distinct problem. It will change shape when a great deal of weight is added.
That's true.
Try this yourself. If you wad up a paper and place it inside a plastic bag, at first you have a large volume of space taken up by the paper and the air surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
Then stand on the bag. Surprise, surprise. Suddenly, you have
At our age, we couldn't keep our balance.
Probably not. You're probably right about it. You have lost no less than 60% of the mass.
Yeah.
That is what can happen on a smaller scale within the cart. Now, there are three kinds of packaging material which we recommend without reservation.
All right.
Number one, styrofoam ball packing or peanuts, some people call them.
Yep. Good stuff.
Uh-huh. Number two is that bubble wrap. I like popping bubble wrap, by the way. I always get excited when I get a package with bubble wrap in it. And number three is corrugated paper matting. So first, the styrofoam ball packing peanuts are available from almost any packaging store. The product comes either loose or in pre-filled plastic mat. Now, this material will split, crack, and flatten, but never entirely. Even the broken pieces will still have the ability to cancel out impact or vibration.
Okay.
Okay, then corrugated paper matting. This product is not as easy to find as the others mentioned here. It's a good foundation and can be used with the other materials. Hundreds of layers of paper are pressed in a manner that presents padding because of its multi-layer construction. Punctures from outside are unlikely, and this type of packaging is used with furniture and other items in which the surface is delicate and the product is relatively bulky. Mm-hmm. Okay, make it yourself. One of the best ways to deal with the isolation of the content within a larger container is to build an enclosure around the items. Use cardboard and bend or cut it to form a structure, which allows for the centralization of the item and permits the introduction of other packaging aids, such as bubble wrap or peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
The structure should be designed in such a way that it comes into evenly distributed contact with all six sides of the box's interior. Yes, I did say six sides. Remember that this box might end up placed on any of the external surfaces, top, bottom, or any of the sides. Make your structure fit tightly enough that it can't move, but allow enough room for the leaves of the carton to close smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do not leave any free space at any point which is in contact with the inner sides of the box. Okay, then we come to taping your carton.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting on.
Yeah. That's part that could get you into trouble.
I was going to say, between this and our guest today, there really wasn't much needing me coming.
never use duct tape to seal a carton. Duct tape is not water resistant. If the box is outside in a rainstorm during transfer from the aircraft to the truck, the tape will break free and all of your hard work will be for nothing. Use only approved packaging tape. Now, wrapping, never wrap your carton. For security reasons, most shipping companies will not accept externally wrapped packages. This is true of both domestic and international shipments. Please remove or deface any prior address information to avoid the misdirection of your package. Now, the carton. Finally, whenever possible, use plain brown containers. Those without company stamps or signs. Nobody needs to know what's in your box if it's traveling within the United States.
Yeah.
Okay, if your package is going outside the country, you're required by law to provide a detailed list of the contents, which is carried outside the container. Now, this rule is sometimes circumvented by the postal authorities, but today even the post office is finding that they
does nobody screen this stuff before
must
we
comply.
Do we not have anybody who says we ought to? I mean,
with international law. Okay,
I've
one
lost
other little thing
trouble here. Something's happened.
Isn't that some kind of operation?
Okay, now this is last but not least, okay? Insurance, as a rule, most companies provide coverage against loss or damage. It isn't expensive, usually about 50 cents per $100 of coverage. We strongly recommend
that you buy
that you undertake coverage whenever possible. And, of course, let's say we have a very high
you folks,
percentage
could you,
of
could you and Shaw meet me in my office after the show? We need to talk.
Well, thank you, John Justice.
I have one comment on this, if I'm permitted, if we want to prolong this. I'll guarantee you, you better make sure when you package it, and he had some good tips in there, that it is approved by the carrier you're going to use. I had a package. It was actually a Dearborn heater sent to me by my sister. It was brand new, and I'd sent it to her, or taken it to her, physically taken it to her. She thought she could use it, and she couldn't, and it was brand new, and she said, I'll mail it back. I'll ship it back to you. UPS. I want you to know it was damaged when I got it, so I called UPS. You would have thought I was the mad bomber. They spent more money coming to my house to tell me that I had packed it wrong and was trying to collect falsely from them than if they would have just settled my claim, which they didn't. I just gave up. Right. But,
if you have a piece of electronic gear, a piece of glass or anything, well, UPS will wrap these things for you, won't they, for a price?
Well, for a fee.
Sure they will.
I mean, if you take things to the post office, will they wrap things for
like
you?
Like mailboxes, et cetera. I'm saying that's sometimes the best, even if it costs you.
I got to mail my Victor Reader back, and I've been considering it for a week. I've got a return authorization number and everything.
Really?
It's got a problem. And so I've been considering, I think the best thing to do is just take it to the post office, let them wrap it, and that'd be the easiest.
Mailboxes, et cetera, over here.
Where is that?
Right over in Fagan, down the road from the A1 self-storage.
Right, in the Kmart shopping center there. They're right there where the old restaurant that Shaw never went to.
Y'all are talking about two different places. He's talking about the one by the U-Haul rental.
Oh, I've seen that one too.
On Fagan.
Okay.
All right. Well,
that's right.
They need to. Mark, you might run that up there.
Probably have it back before the show's over.
We're going to roll it up in a piece of paper and send it free matter for the blind.
That's what I've been considering doing, but I'm not going to do it. Well, we're off to a roaring start today, aren't we, guys?
Boy.
Meet me in my office after the show. Well, let's do our guest in just a minute, and we'll be back with more of the Blind Andy Man Show. Hang on.
I think we're in trouble.
The Blind Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind Like Me. Blind Like Me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information.
Hi, everybody. This is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the shows. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Welcome back to Blind Like Me. We are visiting with this lady named Viviana, and up until now, that's all we knew you by, right?
Yeah.
You had not told us your last name, which is?
My last name is Molnar.
And we're glad to have you on Blind Like Me. Now, where do you live?
I live in Northern California, near Oroville.
Oroville, California, which is obviously a very small town.
45,000, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is small for here, I guess.
Which I guess is for California, since everything's so big out there. You weren't involved at all in the wildfires or anything out there?
No, I'm way up in Northern California.
So that
luckily,
so that you didn't lose anything, I guess, huh?
No.
Now, you, what is your level of vision?
I'm totally blind.
Totally blind as I am, right? Blind like me.
Right, right. Well, I have minimal light perception, which might as well be considered totally blind.
Yeah, which is almost the same thing. Now, did you ever have sight?
Nope, I was born blind.
Born totally blind.
Right.
And you obviously have, I don't know what your setup is. You live way out in the country without electricity and without, anyway, tell me about your situation.
Well, I live about, it's only about 5 miles from town, actually, but it might as well be out in the country. I'm down at the end of a gravel road, and my nearest neighbor is about a mile away.
Yeah.
Pardon?
You don't drive.
No.
So
drive.
You live by yourself?
Yes, I live by myself. I live on a small acreage, only 10 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I have I'm not hooked up. I'm off the grid.
Uh-huh.
That means I have
solar. You mean the electrical grid?
Yeah, the electrical grid and the telephone also.
And so you're talking on a cell phone right now?
Yes.
And you have no electricity?
Well, I do, but it's generated by solar.
All by solar?
Right.
Well, that is unusual, to say the least, for anybody, especially a totally blind person.
Well, I was really planning on having regular electricity, but when they told me it would cost about $37,000 to have it run down this road here, I decided I might as well get some solar. That way I don't have to pay them the big money to get the electricity run in and then pay them every month to use it.
Well, yeah, solar should be the way we all operate now. If it wasn't for the big oil companies, I think that's probably the way a lot of people would receive their electricity. Now, someone had to come and install that for you, so you had to do some investigation to find out about that. Tell me about that. Tell me how you got on solar.
Well, I didn't really and still really don't know way a lot about it. Kind of new at all this myself. But I just did some research on the Internet and talked to a few people. Basically, I ended up going with the local guy, the guy who lives around town here. Actually, he lives about 20 miles up. But he seemed like a nice guy, and when I talked to him about doing the installation for the solar, he said, well, since I'm so close, I could come down and do service calls and things like that, because the whole darn thing is really, really visual. It's all my... my inverter, which is the little job that converts the sun into battery power and then the batteries into 110 power, it's all computer-driven. And it's on this teeny little screen with these nifty little flashing lights. So if anything ever happens, I have to have someone who can see, look at the darn thing.
So it was nothing that we thought JAWS or window eyes could read.
You know, there is a little gizmo where you can plug in your computer. I think it might be a serial port. But I would have to get a cable run over there and then figure out how to run the program on this thing, and if there is one. I know there's a program you can run, but I'm not sure how friendly it is. If it's just a visual thing that you run on your computer, or if it would actually work with window eyes or some such. Haven't had to figure that one out yet.
Well, how do you do a computer from where you are, since you don't have a regular telephone?
Well, I use the cell phone as a modem. Well, not... It's what it is. It's most people have a little plug on the bottom of their phone. It's a little serial port. Actually, it's a COM port. And so I plug a cable into the bottom of my cell phone, and then I use a modem, just a regular modem like inside your computer, and it just dials up utilizing the cell phone. It's just really, really slow.
Really?
It's like the really old dial-up service we used to have about 15 years ago.
Really, really slow, huh?
Right. Like 9,600 baud or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can, because I see posts from you occasionally on the list, so you are tied to the outside world.
But yes.
It does work.
Right. It works.
Yeah.
Just don't try downloading anything really big. I haven't yet tried listening to any radio shows or anything on there. I don't know if it would work or not.
So you wouldn't want to go to Kazaa and try to get a song or anything?
I haven't tried it yet.
We'd be here 2 or 3 days probably from now.
I'd have to do it all night.
Well, and so you live there by yourself, because you mentioned that a lot of times when we call, we try to make contact with you several times, and you said you'd been out with the goats, I think was your quote, wasn't it?
Yes, that's me.
These quotes will come back to haunt you now, Viviana.
These goats really are out there.
They are out there.
And I'm out there with them a lot.
Well, what do you get milk from them, or?
Well, I have one that I milk, and yes, I drink it even.
Well, yeah, that would be the thing to do with it, or make cheese, or something.
Yeah, well, I want to try making the cheese. Maybe when I get up enough nerve to see, and I'll probably wreck it the first few times.
How many goats do you have?
Well, I just have a small herd. I only have the 25 now, but I have 16 pregnant does among those 25, so soon to be many, many more than that.
So you have 25 goats on your property.
Right.
Now, are they penned in a pen?
They're in several pens. I have my property fenced and cross-fenced, and I have a couple different sort of bigger pastures. Then I have the pasture with the horse in it, and then I have several little pastures for the different goats, you know, one for moms with babies and one for boys. Well, you can separate them off if you need to for various reasons. And I do run them up here at night because there's predators out there.
Coyotes
and things that eat goats. So I've been running them up here, up near the house, so to speak, the trailer.
But to know they're there, all there, you have to take your hands and physically count them.
Yes.
There would be no other way for Viviana to know that she had been successful at herding the goats up to the...
Mostly they're driven by greed of feed.
Okay.
All you have to do is have them think you're giving them treats and they're all there.
And they're all happy to come.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah. Now, and you have one horse?
Yes, one horse.
To ride or to pull the plow or to do what?
Well, to ride eventually. She's young. She's just turned 4, and where I used to live, I had a riding arena, you know, and was in boarding stables and all that sort of thing. And so here I need to have a riding arena because she's such a little green broke. I'm just working with her. She's not very well trained, if you know, and so I need a place to work with her that's symmetrical, confined, and predictable.
Okay. Now, you say where you used to live, you had a riding arena, as in you rode in some competition or what?
Well, I have ridden in competitions, yes, in dressage competitions.
So this kind of life is not new to you, this bucolic sort of ranch life, as it were. This is the way you've always lived?
Oh, no. Up until 2 years ago, I was living in an apartment in the city.
Uh-huh.
And I had my horses out at a riding stable where you go out there and ride them or work with them a few times a week and then come home to your apartment in the city.
But you did have some knowledge of animals before you jumped off into this this way of life that you have now.
Just the horses, and not as much as I do now as far as medical treatment and trimming hooves and giving shots and diagnosing and administering medicine and all that, and you know, helping with birthing and all that. Now I know a lot more about these things, although I'm still really a newbie.
Do you trim hooves yourself or not?
Yes.
You've learned to do that as a blind person?
Right. I do it all myself. I give injections and trim hooves and give oral medications and help with birthing and if they have problems. And
I'm sorry I'm being so dumb. I just don't know much about, I've lived in the city all my life, so this is just very, very strange to me. You must know, have some sort of identification of different goats so you know which ones to inject.
Right, yeah, you have to keep them straight and remember who the heck's who, and you can just, it's tough. People who can see can't tell the buggers apart because they have the same color pattern, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Or very similar. You know, they're white with reddish-brown heads, being boar goats. So I'll ask someone who can see, well, who's coughing over there? What color is that one? Oh, it's one of those white ones with the red head, they say. I said, well, is it the one with no horns or the one with horns? Does she have, you know, a spot on her shoulder? But they don't know either, so
yeah.
I can mostly tell by their size and their shape. If there's something different about them, like their horn set, whether the horns are long or short, fat or skinny or turned or not, whether they have sort of rougher curly hair or real smooth hair. They're all a little bit different. One might have ears that perk up a little bit. One might have long ears with an ear tag in them, and it's It's okay now, but, you know, when I get to be about, have about 70 of them, I think I'll be challenged a little bit myself.
So you're keeping all this in your mind.
Right.
To know goat A from goat B, as it were.
Right, and then I name them, and then I write them down in a herd book, everything that I have, you know, who they are, their birthday, when I've done what to them, when I've trimmed their hooves and given them their shots, and when they went in for breeding, and just when, you know, when they were bred, and I can't keep that all straight. I can't now.
You're doing all that in on your computer, I suppose, or in Braille?
Nope, you know, I do it with an old-fashioned Perkins Brailler. Just a three-ring notebook with a Perkins Brailler in it. That way you don't have to boot a bunch of stuff up. You just look in there under their name, and there you have it.
Yeah, just an old Perkins Brailler.
Yep.
I think even you would have to admit that this is rather a rather strange life for a blind person.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's rather interesting and challenging. Even just walking around here, because all my fencing is electric, is quite unique, and I'm hoping that I can get away with not being shot too often during the winter.
But occasionally you do get against the fence, run into a fence and get...
Oh, sure. You don't realize you're so close, and you're going through a gate, and you bump that bugger, and it's 6,000 volts now.
Yeah, so it gives you a pretty good little tingle.
Yeah,
I guess.
It gives you a pretty good zap.
I guess it would. Without getting into too much of this, you just got tired of the apartment and said, to hell with it, I'm going to play out and play with the goats.
Well, ever since I was a little kid, I always wanted to live out in the country and have animals. I was the little kid who always played with animals instead of dollies and things like that. And I've had horses for, almost 20 years now. But, like I said, they were always boarded at riding stables. I lived in the city. And I've always wanted to be out in the boonies. So I thought, well, heck, I'm going to rent a house here near Sacramento where I can still get to work and everything. I'll rent a house just to see how it is. So I rented a house for a year, but it was really pricey. You can imagine renting a house near Sacramento. And it was only on 2 acres, and I had to do all this work, like build an arena. Well, have someone help me build an arena is more like it. Things like that. Well, I realized I was just doing that and leaving it there for the landlord. So I got to thinking, well, you know, this isn't so bad. I can handle this. Wow, I'm just paying this landlord. Maybe if I get my own place, I'll be dumping money into my own investment instead of giving it to him.
So you bought a mobile home?
No, I looked on the internet, and believe it or not, I found a realtor.
Yeah.
And then him and I, we looked for places up. I searched so far. I needed to find a place that was cheap enough that I could afford it, close enough to a town where I could get a taxi, and the town had to have stores and things. I mean, some of these towns are so little they don't have a grocery store that you could really buy a lot in. And the town had to have some sort of public transit, like Greyhound or Amtrak or something where I could get places if I had to. So that's how I found Oroville. It's about 70 miles north of Sacramento. And I actually found the property on Realtor.com, and I called up my realtor, and I said, I found this place. I think this might be it. Check it out. So he drove out here and looked at it and thought it was great, and then I got someone to drive me up here, and we looked at it, and there you have it.
And so here you are.
Right, and then I'm living in a travel trailer right now because I'm building my own house.
You're building a house?
Yeah.
As in
a small cottage.
As in you're doing the physical work?
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, tell me about that. How do you have plans, or you just have those plans in your head?
No, you have to have plans. This is California, and you have to have plans and submit them, and they approve them, and it has to be, earthquake-proof and all this kind of stuff, and it's really difficult. And so I was going to buy a mobile home, but, they're quite expensive, actually.
Mm-hmm.
you know, by the time you get it out here and get it set up and this and that, it's, well, $60,000, $70,000. So I said to myself, I hate to spend all that money on one of those mobile homes, even though they are nice. They're still not a house. So this friend of mine said, I'll help you build a house. And I said, you will? Says, yeah. I said, are you sure? It might be a lot of work. And he says, oh, yeah, it'll be fun. So guess what? Now we're building it.
So you're building a house.
Right.
Now, is this house is going to be on a slab or piers and beams or what?
It's on a slab.
It's on a slab.
And the latest thing, the last thing we did is last week, we got it all ready and got the first inspection, so I was out there tying rebar and...
Okay, so you're just...
Adobe's in then.
You're just getting ready to pour the slab.
Yes.
And once that is done, now, do you have an air compressor?
I don't, no.
Does this friend of yours have an air compressor?
Yeah. But we're gonna get a concrete finisher in to pour the slab.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Right, right.
But once the slab is poured, then it's time to start framing. And believe me, things will go a lot better if you've got an air compressor. Trust me.
Well, you'll probably bring one. But you know what? I don't think we can frame until spring because it's it'll be just raining and everything up here, and it'll rain on my frame.
Well, that won't hurt a lot. I mean, that's not gonna hurt a lot. And if you got, of course, you don't want to be out there much working in the rain. But then you're gonna have to be out tending to goats in the rain.
Oh, that's what
yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. No question
so
about that.
I don't know if we'll do the we have to do the framing, the roofing, put up the siding, the windows, the doors, and the rough plumbing and the electricity before we even get the next inspection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've come out and said that it's all right for you to call a concrete man and have the slab poured.
Right.
That's been done.
Yes.
That's inspection one. They look at your ground and look at your forms and make sure that everything is level and
right. And we had to put in the rough plumbing.
Stub in the plumbing.
Into the slab.
Did you help do that?
Yeah.
Do the what they call stubbing up the plumbing?
Yeah, we had to put a big pipe up 10 foot up in the air and
pull
it up to show the guy that it doesn't leak anywhere.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Sounds like you have quite a future, this is an ambitious project for a totally blind lady, even if she does have some help.
Right.
Even if she does have some sighted help. Which I gather you do from time to time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I could never build this house without this friend of mine helping me.
Well, we called you too early. What we need to do is give you till the spring, and until you've gotten some of this house up, and then maybe call you back and talk about it. Because once he kind of gets you started framing, I got an idea you're going to be out there every day. Doing some framing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't take too long. It's only small.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't take too long to get that bugger framed up.
Well, two people building a house, it's going to, you know, unless this person can devote full time, it's going to be a pretty good project.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I guess you only have the rest of your life, right?
That's it. And I have my small, cozy travel trailer that I'm in now.
That you're in to keep the rain off of you, keep you dry during the California rainy season.
Hey, I figure I've got it good. I have running water, hot and cold,
a
toilet. I have electricity and a phone. What more do you need?
So these folks had a well when you got there, or what?
No, I had it drilled.
You had it drilled?
It was just a bare piece of land with nothing on it.
Really?
No fencing, no well, no septic, nothing.
So the fence that's up, you built?
Yes.
Which?
I had to have someone who could see, help me position the posts, because I'm not very good at making straight lines.
Yeah, that's kind of hard for us, isn't it?
Right.
You would have had fence, you might have gotten the fence up, but it would have been going everywhere, wouldn't it?
Even if you put a string on one post and string it to the other post several 100 feet down, it doesn't work because the string bows out or in.
Well, string might bow out or in, but then you wouldn't know what you, you want the fence to sort of be symmetric with the property.
Right.
And so you don't want a fence just angling across your, you know what I'm saying?
It would work, but it doesn't look so good.
Well, it wouldn't look so good. That would really look blind. People would think, poor blind girl, she just doesn't know any better, does she, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm constantly amazed when I talk to blind people about the things they do. I don't know why, because I've always said we can do anything we really want to, but I'm just, I've run across people that work for NASA and people at SAIL and now you who are living the bucolic life pretty much by yourself. You know, it just, it's not something I'd want to do. But
modern day homesteading.
Modern day homesteading. I like that. I tell you what, I think I want to do. You've never listened to any of our shows, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, we need to get...
Don't tell anybody.
I'm not going to tell anybody. But what I'd like to do is maybe mail you a couple of CDs so you know kind of who we are and what we're all about.
Okay.
And maybe when we get off here, I'll get an address from you and get Don to do that. We do a show after this called Blind Like Me, where we interview blind people that are successfully dealing with being blind, and obviously you are.
I think so.
I do too. I admire you very much. I wouldn't want to do what you're doing, but I applaud your ability to do it and your desire to do it.
Come on, it's fun.
It wouldn't be for me.
You could come on over and help me figure out whether the electric fence is working or not.
Well, I might do that and probably drink a little too much and fall into it and really get hurt.
Yeah, yesterday I spent several hours trying to figure out why the fence was shorted out.
And why was it shorted out?
It was shorted out because in the back pasture, the top wire was broke. Just out there somewhere, it just broke all by itself.
So you had to run with your hands every foot of that wire till you found the broken one.
That's right.
Just,
I don't really know what it is. I mean, it could be broken or it could be something laying over it, which you never know what that might be. As you've seen my post probably on the handyman thing,
yeah,
about finding things you don't want to find.
Well, it could be an animal, could be a tree branch, could be anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's interesting when you have, thousands of feet of fencing to go around looking. But
anyway, it got done and you did it.
It got done, yes, and now it works.
And that's the important thing. And you
I had someone who can see, it just happened to be over here, and I said, hey, can you look at this here meter and tell me how many volts this bugger's putting out? And he looked and it's 6,000 volts.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, between 6,000 and 8,000 for keeping in goats.
And so you spliced the wire back together and turned the fence back on, and bingo, it worked.
Right.
That's wonderful. We're out of time. What I was going to tell you is that we do this Blind Like Me show. I want to do you in a month or two as a person on Blind Like Me and get into your life a little more, because obviously you're not a timid lass, as one would say.
No, that's not me for sure.
That's not you for sure. Well, I wish they were all California girls.
Uh-oh.
Viviana, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been nice being on.
Let me get off the air here and get an address from you, and I'll get Don to mail you a CD. I assume you have a CD player.
Yes, I do.
Of this show, so you can hear yourself and know who we are and kind of what we're all about, okay?
Okay, great.
Back with more Blind Like Me in just a minute.
The Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Contact information.
Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, in some parts of the world anyway, we're into cool and into cold weather right now. So we thought we'd take just a minute here on the last segment to talk a little bit about fireplace, chimney cleaning and things. Of course, I guess if you're in Australia or somewhere that's going into the summer right now, well, just disregard the next 10 minutes of the show.
Well, I guess, actually,
anyway,
that would probably be the best time to have your chimney cleaned. Maybe they give you a discount because you did it.
Well, they might.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the song Manana, you know, when the sun's shining and the roof,
you don't
got
think
a hole
about
in it.
Nobody cares.
It's not leaking.
Yeah, just
yeah,
don't think
really
about
leaking.
That kind of thing.
But the guy said that I just had my chimney cleaned for the first time in 12 years. And he said, Mr. Parr, that's a little long to wait. You need to have it done more often than that, depending on what you burn. He said that this guy, of course, he's a chimney sweep, and he recommends after every 2 cords of wood, you should have that chimney cleaned.
Whoa. Man, in some cases that would be every week or so, wouldn't it?
Boy.
Well, if you burn a lot of wood, I suppose it would be. But I burn probably a cord a winter.
Yeah, I think in my case, the people I used, I don't know who you used, told me about every other year, and that's what I've done it at the beginning of that year.
But he said my burning practices were good. There was a lot of waste or a lot of chimney fire guana in my chimney, but I don't burn any pine. And he said that's really good. He said if you burn pine, you need to do it quite often because it leaves a lot of resin up there.
I bet you.
And come to find out, I did not, of course, my builder's not speaking to me anymore, so I guess we won't talk to him, but there was no cap on my chimney, period. There was nothing up there.
And no spark arrester.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There was no spark arrester.
Okay. Birds in the chimney.
Well, I only had that one owl that we talked about.
Yeah. I had replaced a chimney cap about, you know, when we bought the house 6 years ago. So then about 2 years into that, I put a brand new chimney cap on. And, of course, then it came with the spark arrester attached to it. But apparently I burned too much pine or too many cardboard boxes and raging chimney fire in a brick chimney. I didn't know you could do that, but I thought the house was going to go into outer space.
I bet you.
You can.
It roared like a jet engine.
Man. Sound like a freight train coming into your house, didn't it? Yeah.
And destroyed the spark arrester. And so now I have to have that redone.
So anyway, you should have someone do that at least every couple of years, a little fireplace maintenance. And remember, of course, remember, when you get through with the fire, when it's all out, close the damper, because if you don't, then all the heat your central heat is generating is going up the chimney,
right,
or quite a bit
chimney.
Of it.
And vice versa, when you light that fire, make sure that damper's open. I've neglected to do that a time or two.
Yep.
My poor wife, and, she cannot remember. It's just not in her nature to remember to open the damper. Well, why'd you close it for? Well,
right. That's because, And I think the warden did that one time, and And step that. They always are doing two things at one time. They lighten the fire on their way to go do something else, and then go. So when they return to the scene of the crime, the house is full of smoke, man.
Luann's done that three or four times. Yeah. So I try to head her off at the pass and remind her.
And so there, then, in the dead of winter, 31 degrees outside, you have every window open in the house. And you're trying to smother the fire that you just lit.
So you might as well just have left the damper open to start with and let the heat out anyway.
But if you do that in the summertime, there's a lot of air conditioning going up. It'd be nice and cool up the top of the chimney.
Phil, I guess you have a chimney cap now sitting on top of that chimney out there, don't you?
It was very interesting. The guy, of course, it's just a screen thing up there. I mean, I don't think there's a little dome cap. Some chimneys have that.
Mine, that's the one I bought, yeah.
I think mine is just a screen thing up there, and he just cut it and fitted it down in there.
It's got something over that to keep.
Yeah, actually, you're not supposed to have any rain coming in.
To keep the rain out.
I'm sure you may have a little thing. I guess we could go look.
Do
you have a stovepipe chimney or is it brick?
No, it's a big brick chimney.
Brick all the way up.
But before I did anything, what would have kept rain from coming down there?
Well, you'd have had to have a cap if no rain came.
Yeah.
So you
probably, like us on Norris, had the cap and not the spark arrestor screen.
You know, I bet
probably your deal.
And the cap is like a little roof. It's gabled, a little hip roof, and it sticks out over the wider than the chimney opening.
That's right.
And then it has a fresh, a place that's just open to the air, but up under it, so rain can't,
Because if I hadn't had that, I'd have had a lot of rain down the chimney.
A lot of rain,
reminds me, in this house I live in now, the one that I've sold in my chimney, I've always had a leak.
Yeah.
And there are people, I've never gotten them, but there are people who repair the mortar. Sometimes the mortar in the chimney, and depending on the way, my chimney is straight. It's probably, goodness, 20 feet in the air.
Tall.
Big brick chimney. But when it gets down to the probably 6 foot, within 6 feet of the ground, it flares out. And then they stair step their bricks. So you have a flat ledge, then a drop off, then a flat ledge. That's the worst kind of chimney construction I can think of, because water accumulates on those ledges, and brick mortar is porous. It actually, if water stands on it a long period of time, it will leak through it.
Really?
And so this is just a natural accident waiting to happen, and I've never been able to solve it, even though the chimney sweeps they'll offer to re-mortar the inside of your fireplace. They'll always point out, you have a crack here, and that's just probably from heat.
Yeah.
And it makes them an extra $25, and I always say, go ahead, but it really never stops anything. So I have actually, in this chimney, never solved the leak. Also, I've been told that when a house settles, one of the first places they will tend to settle is at the fireplace.
These guys got here at about 12:30, and they were hungry. And they mentioned that they hadn't had any lunch, so I fixed them a big plate of taquitos. So I got a free spark arrestor for doing that.
I'm sure the boss doesn't know that.
Probably
the owner of the company is out a spark arrestor.
Right? I think this guy was the owner. I think he was the owner. He was happy because they hadn't eaten and they had lots of chimneys to do.
We had
a cold snap, and he said once you have a cold snap, they've got more work than they know what to do.
I bet.
So, anyway, if you haven't had your chimney cleaned in a while, it's a good idea to do it. It doesn't cost much. This guy charged me $70 to do it, and that would be a whole lot better than setting your chimney on fire.
Man, it sure would.
And especially if you burn a lot of pine.
Especially if you only do this every 12 years.
I'll try to shape up. All right, guys, we've done another one, 58, number 58.
Yeah.
And next week, Dale is going to be on for 2 hours with Cooking in the Dark. And we're going to skip a week, but we'll be back on the Friday immediately following Thanksgiving, so come join us. Thank you, Don Shaw, Don Patterson.
Yes, all right. Enjoyed it.
Thomas Houston.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Even though you are reneging on your contract.
Mark Christie.
Mark Christie's been with
Mark.
Us.
Mark.
He's going to take up the slack.
We're trying to work Mark into taking up the slack on The Blind Like Me. We'll talk more about that later. Thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for Blind Like Me. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive,
Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.